and welcome to Media Mavens. This is episode 35. I am Pam, and with me, as always, is Riley.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing, Riley?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So today we are going to be talking about Game of Thrones, which just returned for its seventh season. And with us to talk Game of Thrones is my good friend Mel. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Good. Pretty pumped. Like super pumped.
Yeah?
Yeah. I feel like the season's going to go by really fast, but... Nevertheless, I'm excited.
Awesome. Do you want to tell people about yourself?
Sure. So I've known Pam a very long time. I've also known Riley pretty long as well. I am a artist that works in the games industry. So I'm a 2D artist. I work at a studio called Boat Rocker. They have a little games division there. We work on the Orphan Black game. Now we're just doing some like little projects. I grew up playing a lot of video games, actually specifically beside Pam.
All right. That's fine. So we start out the episode talking about what we've been up to, any games we've played or things we've watched or books we've read. Mel, do you want to start off with what you've been doing?
Sure. So I know this is like super like not up to date, I had the Mass Effect series for a really long time, and I just hadn't got down to like playing it. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but like I just find a hard time like committing to a game that I know is going to be like 60 hours. Mm-hmm. But I was like, okay, whatever. I want to start playing like a pretty good story driven game. So I just finished a little while ago. I finished Mass Effect 1, and so I just started 2.
How did you like Mass Effect 1? I know people sometimes have trouble with the kind of clunkiness of it.
Yeah, well, that's... Okay, so at the beginning, I was very... I don't want to say disappointed, but I think I was just like... I had my hopes were so... I think my standards were like... Or my expectations were really high. Because it has such a good reputation. And so I think I went into it expecting just like so much. Not, like, you know, almost forgetting that it's, like, what? Like, 15 years old? 10 years old? Like, it's Mass Effect 1 is an old game. And so the load times are pretty insane. like, to the point where I started, I have, like the Duolingo app on my phone. And so between...
Oh, my gosh.
When I would, like, enter, like, go to the Citadel and take that bloody elevator all the way up to the top, I would just, like... do some Portuguese courses on Duolingo. So I kind of got around it. And I mean, like, most of the, like, you know, substantial games that I've played that last a really long time have all been, like, RPGs. So this is kind of sort of the first, like, third-person shooter that I've played that was, like, not just, like, I'm playing a multiplayer match, like, you know, for, like, this one session. And it took me some time to sort of get into it. By the time I actually, you know, sort of got really invested in it, I was really enjoying it. So I'm excited for the second one. It's still like kind of grasping the, I know most of the mechanics are the same, but there's no, duck in the second one. There's no like, crouch, I guess. You just go behind,
Yeah, it does it for you, right?
Yeah, it sort of does it for you. Like, you have to press X and it does it. But, like, it was just... I was so accustomed to doing it on my own that it sort of threw me off. And also, just the fact that I have to pick up ammo. Because, like, I kind of loved not having to pick up... I mean, like, yeah, it sucked, like that the charge or whatever. But, like, I'd rather that than having to go around and try and look for ammo. So, I'm not 100% sure why they changed it. I'm assuming that people were probably just like, oh, this is... too easy because you just have ammo all the time. But I'm not as accustomed to a third person shooter game, so I was just like, yes, ammo all the time, this is great. So, So I really enjoyed it. I transferred over my character. I am still really disappointed that I did not get to hook up with Garrus. I really, really thought that I would have that option, and I was, like, waiting for the flirting options to come up in my dialogue with Garrus, and I'm like, why does he just keep talking about, like, boring shit? Like, ask, like, let me know, you know.
Why is he being so professional? What is this garbage?
Yeah, why is he so professional? Compliment a girl. Like, So I was told, oh, yeah, you can't hook up with him in the first game. Can you hook up with him in the second? Because I heard that you can't.
Sure can.
You can?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes!
That's who I romance.
Oh, yes! I'm so excited. It's adorable.
Oh, his flirt lines are so good. I'm so excited
for you.
I know, though.
That's what I mean. Like, he's just so, like, I don't know. He's just so charming. I read an article where it's just like, why, like, you know, I think, like, a lot of guys are really confused, like, why girls are super into Garrus. And I'm like, it's a personality thing, right? Like, he's just this adorable, noble, geeky alien, and I just want to bone down.
You will.
Yeah. So that's what I've been playing. I started watching it's not super new, but then, I know you were watching it too, Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
I'm not done it yet. I think I'm like episode 5 or 6. I finished up what was on Netflix for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I love. But that's like, it's got a bit of like I guess like an arc or whatever, but it's pretty, I guess, episodic. And then Brian... just started getting me into Big Brother 19.
Yeah, I love Big Brother.
Which I am getting hard into. Like, oh my god. It's ridiculous. Yeah, and then what else? So I just finished reading American Gods, which was really good. I'm actually really excited for the series. Like, I think I watched just the first 2 episodes, but... apparently, I guess, like, they're taking it in a slightly different direction, because I will say this much, like, I did enjoy the book, but I thought that it was really slow in the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. Have you read it?
No, I watched the series, but I haven't read the book.
Okay, so the series is, like, the series is good, or at least from what I watched, but it goes a lot quicker. Like, the book is very, I don't want to say drawn out, but, okay, no, it's drawn out. It's pretty drawn out. Like, I mean, a lot of it is just, like, Shadow traveling or, like, laying low. He spends a lot of time in this, like, one town. And it's only, like, the last, like third of the book that things really, like, you know, hit the fan. Mm-hmm. But it seems like for the series, they, you know, not only did they, like, kind of expand some characters that were really interesting that didn't have a lot of book time, mm-hmm. They're also just, yeah, they're getting to the point a lot quicker. So I'm excited. I'm still, you know, I'm a little, I don't want to say skeptical. Like, I'm just going to go into it not expecting anything. But from what I've seen so far, I was like, oh, this is pretty good. It's interesting.
Yeah, it seems like Shadow is kind of secondary in the series. Like, it starts out really heavy in the first episode with him, and then I feel like he becomes much less important than it sounds like he is in the books.
No, to be honest, in the books, like, until, like, I guess the end, and you're like, oh, okay, I guess I see why he was important or whatever. But, like, no, for most of the books, like, you're like, oh, he's just, like, a grunt. Like, it's, yeah, like, I don't want to say that he's not important, because you basically, like, the story revolves around him, but in terms of the actual plot and, like, the development of what's, you know, of just, like, what's going on with this god war, whatever it is, like, he's not really, I mean, he's not really involved. He basically just, like, works for Wednesday, and that's it. And Wednesday puts him in these weird situations. So, like, I'm not surprised that you would feel like that, because that seems to also be the sort of, like, tone of the book.
Oh, okay.
The last things, so I've been listening to, I just got introduced to this new podcast called Science Versus.
I like that podcast.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I did not, like, because I've been looking for, there's been a couple of other, like, sort of skeptics-based podcasts that I've been trying to listen to, but, like, I'm such a grump, like, for information podcasts, like, I don't want banter. I just want the information. Like, I just want somebody who is charismatic, who tells me about what basically the topic that they're talking about. And all the other sort of skeptics podcasts that I was listening to is very, like, I don't know, like morning radio program where, like, you know, the people who are on it would kind of, like, talk about their weekend. And this sounds, like, so cold, but I'm just like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care. Just tell me, you know, just tell me why pseudoscience is bullshit. Like, I don't. So that's why when I found Science Versus, I was just like, oh, this is really good. Because she's, like, the host is really quirky, and she's, you know, she's still funny, and, you know, she has, like, those good, like, nerd joke moments. But it's the information. The information is what the podcast is focused on. So I've been really enjoying that. And kind of periodically listening, there's a couple of, like, murder podcasts that I listen to. I was listening to Sword and Scale for a while, which is really good, but was just starting to get too heavy for me. Like, I just couldn't do it anymore. It's you need, like, I don't know, man. You just, have you listened to it?
No, I've never heard of it.
No? Mm-hmm. So, it's very good. It's just mess. Like, they have, like, audio clippings of, like, some stuff, and it's just a hard, I'll just say it's a hard listen. And so I was just like, okay, I got through a bit of it, and I was like, I like this content, but I can't, like, my soul is dying. So my brother introduced me to a podcast called Case File, which is, it's done by this Australian dude, and again, like, it's really good. Content's really great, but it's very, again, like, more to the point, less sensational, I guess. Yeah, so it's not as difficult to listen to. And then the last thing is, like, I'm a huge McElroy fanatic. I love the McElroy brothers very, very, very much.
They're good boys.
They are good, good boys. I've been keeping up with Adventure Zone. I listen to My Brother and Me, like, every day, but it's one of those things where, like, it's like my, I don't know how you explain it. It's my, you know, when you wake up in the morning and turn on, like the news? I just turn on My Brother and Me. So I started, like, re-listening to it from the beginning. But in terms of, like, keeping up with something, like, every week, Adventure Zone is the go-to. I started listening to Cool Games, Inc., but I haven't gotten super into it yet. But, yeah, that's it. That's me. That's been me.
All right. Riley, what have you been up to?
I finally went back and started playing the new Final Fantasy.
Oh, nice. Ooh. I was so excited when I saw that you were playing something that wasn't by Blizzard.
Something that's not Overwatch and not Blizzard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, I really like it. The combat is really cool. Like, aside from, like, generally liking the characters so far, like, the combat has been really awesome. And, like, the mid-combat, like, banter and stuff is really good. And, like, Prompto and Ignis, like, high-fived after they did something. And yes. I was like, this is awesome.
I was so weary about it being so bro-y, but apparently that's, like, the best part of the game.
It's so good. I love it so much. When they're all like, it's good. So I'm like, I'm looking forward to getting to play it more, and, like, I actually have to, like, sit down on the couch instead of, like, being at my computer, so I think that's helping, like, get away from just being like, well, Battle.net's right there, so I could just do that. So now I'm just trying to do that instead. And then Dream Daddy just came out, so I'm playing that.
So Okay. You have to explain this game to me because I've been seeing a lot of it on, like, Twitter and stuff. And, like, seeing, like, the avatars that some of my friends have made that are exactly, look exactly like them.
Yeah.
What is this? What is it?
Well, it's like a visual novel dating sim.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, the character creation is really, really good. Like, you can choose all these different body types, and they even have options for, like, binders, so you could be a trans dad if you wanted to.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of, like, the first thing. It doesn't change, like, the silhouette of the body at all. It's just there identity. If you want it.
Yeah, that's great,
though. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was a really cool addition. There's, like, tons of different skin tones. Like, you can make anything. Like, any dad.
the most dads. You can just make the most dads.
You can go super, super dad and make all the dads. It's, like, so far it's been, like, really funny. Like, I find the writing is actually pretty good. It's not voiced or anything. Like, there's just, like, some occasional voice cues. But, like, generally you're just reading everything. Mm-hmm. And, like, all of the dads are super hot. Like, having serious issues, like, picking which one I want to date.
Is there a vampire dad?
Yeah, he's, like, super into goth stuff. Like,
I would assume blood. Because if he's not into blood, I feel like that kind of just defeats the purpose of being a vampire.
So far, well, I've only been on one date with him, so I'm not too sure.
Oh, okay.
He introduced me to, like, his house, like, his Victorian style house.
You know what? I'm going to take that back. I feel like that's very presumptuous of me. I don't want to assume that he's super into blood just because he's a vampire. I take it back. He can be into other things.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll find out and I'll report back. I think I've been on a date with all of the dads now, except for one, because he's, like tries to one-up you every time you have a conversation and, like, what? Talk about how his daughter is, like, smarter than your daughter, and I'm like, dude, I am not here for that.
No.
So I haven't done a date with that guy yet, but I've dated everybody else.
That's amazing.
The other question I have is, can you send the children to boarding school?
Would do that.
But your daughter is going away to college, so she'll be gone soon.
Oh, she's an adult. She can handle herself. You can be like, like, Kristen, mommy needs to get some. You need to leave. You need to go to see the new Blockbuster because mommy needs to hit that. Sweet. Okay.
So it's time for you to go.
It's time for you to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in general, I think that I'm really enjoying Dream Daddy, and I, like, love tweeting about it, and it's full of, like, dad jokes. Like, if you like dad jokes and puns, this is your game. If you don't like dad jokes and puns, you might get annoyed at the dialogue a little bit.
I feel like if you don't like dad jokes in general, you're probably not going to see a game called Dream Daddy and be like,
no.
I'm into this.
It's a game for me. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to playing it more and, like, seeing kind of what the ending is. Like, I have no idea. Apparently there's, like, bad endings you can get. And I was like, what? How? So I'm hoping that I'm not screwing anything up, but we'll see. I just want my dad to be happy with his daddy. I don't know. It's so weird saying that.
It's so good. Oh my god, God bless the person who made this game.
I feel like you have to play it just so you can be like, you make your daddy and then you can date other daddies. And then aside from games, I watched Game of Thrones, but we're talking about Game of Thrones later, so I'll just leave that. I watched Power Rangers. I actually thought it was pretty good. I was surprised.
To be honest, like, I haven't watched a lot of blockbusters lately, but no, I heard good things about Power Rangers.
Like, I don't even know anything about Power Rangers really to begin with, except like that they exist, and they were a TV show. But like, I don't know. I thought I liked the movie, except for like the very beginning. I thought was kind of bad, like just boring, and the jokes weren't funny. But then like, the action sequences were cool, and they were like best friends, and they're learning to be best friends, and then they have like a giant monster fight at the end. It was cool. I liked it.
I really hope that at one point they yelled friendship and then all
high-fived. They high-fived.
Excellent. Yeah.
That's how they got their powers.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it is kind of just like the essence of Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah. I liked it. I thought it was okay. And then one of my K-pop bands came out with new songs. So I've been listening to their album like nonstop. It's such a good summer jam. I love it.
Great.
And that's it. For me, not that much else otherwise.
All right. So for me, I have been playing a few things. I played all the Rise of the Tomb Raider DLC over the last couple weeks because I had bought it but just never really tried it out. So there's two. There's one about Baba Yaga.
Sorry, I love the mythology around the Baba Yaga, so continue.
Yeah, so it's basically in the same place where the rest of the game takes place, and you find a girl and her grandfather has gone to avenge their grandmother who was killed by Baba Yaga. And it's pretty cool. Like, there's some sort of hallucinogen from flowers or something as you go, so like you see the house and it really looks like it's moving along on chicken legs. And I found the ending was a little bit predictable, but it had some fun gameplay and a really cool boss fight at the end. And then the other one was in the Croft mansion, I guess. And there's no combat at all in it. And you just sort of go around finding, I think you're looking for your dad's will because your uncle is trying to kick you out of Croft Manor, so it's okay. It was there was a lot of reading to do in it, but it was nice to get a little bit more backstory. And then I decided to try out sort of some really popular classic games that I'd never played before. I started Half-Life 2, which is pretty good. It holds up surprisingly well, because I had just played Portal for the Cartridge Club Game of the Month, and I got the orange box, so I started playing Half-Life 2. I'm only a couple chapters in, but so far it's a pretty good shooter. It still looks all right.
Nice. I've never played that.
No?
Nah.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that, like, everyone talks about, and you hear people asking for Half-Life 3, like, every day. Oh, so geez. I thought...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's also partly why I was, like, really intrigued with Mass Effect, right? Because it just had such, like, a vibrant community around it, and I was just like, okay, mm-hmm. I'll check this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Half-Life, like Mass Effect, like, you know someone that's played it.
Yeah.
It's one of those games where they're both, like, everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one I started was System Shock, even though I think System Shock 2 is the more popular of them. But I played this for maybe half an hour before I decided I just couldn't do it. It's so dated and the controls are so clunky and bad that I wasn't going to put myself through that. So I might try System Shock 2 at some point, but the first one, it just doesn't hold up very well. They even did like a remastered version, and that still no bueno on my eyes or anything else. finished watching Orange is the New Black, which is that show is so tonally weird
and all over the place. Yeah, well, I feel like, so I had a huge problem with, like, what's his I always forget his name. Genji, the guy who he did Weeds as well, which, again, like, I was watching Weeds and I'm like, this is really good, but tonally it, like, changes a lot, and the main character is super obnoxious, which is basically similar to Orange is the New Black. Like, Piper is often the worst.
Yes.
But,
God, she's always the worst.
Yeah. She's actually, like, tolerable in the season. Mostly just because I think she's, like, she stopped trying to be head honcho or...
And she's just in it less.
Yeah, and she's, exactly, yeah. No, and she's just in it less. But I do, I was kind of like, I feel like I'm enjoying this season a little bit more than I did the previous one. More just because I feel like they're starting to, I don't know, like lean into the craziness, I guess. Not even craziness, but just like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I don't want to say anything without spoiling, but the whole, like, the atmosphere around the season is just so much, it's so much funner, I guess. Which is kind of like, I was sort of thinking, I was like, this is probably where, like, this, you know, these writers excel, and where this show and plotline will fit and go better, just because, like, it gets so ridiculous in terms of its, like, content, that it's just like, okay, well, you might as well lean into it, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Did you finish the season, Riley?
Nope.
Not yet? Okay. I liked some of it a lot. I liked that it was more focused on characters other than Piper, and
yes.
I don't know, some of it was super uncomfortable, and other things were good. I still can't handle, what's her face? The one who hangs out with Boo now, and like...
Oh, Pensatucky.
Pensatucky, yeah. Every time they put Pensatucky in with, what do they call them, donuts, I'm just like, ugh, can we not do any of this? Please.
I know. I don't. Yeah. So it's hard. So here's the thing. Like, I'm trying to figure out what they're trying to get across from that storyline. Like, I don't know. Like, because I think from, at least from what I'm kind of getting from the series, is very much like, nothing's black and white. Everything is in the gray. And so, you know, this person who he's a rapist. But like, he tries to redeem himself, and he's trying, you know, and then there's this complicated relationship between the two of them, which I kind of like, but I kind of just also have this like weird feeling in the back of my neck where I'm just like, this still feels like really upsetting and really wrong, and I don't know where they're going with it, I'm interested to know where they're going with it, but I'm also like, disturbed by it. Like I just, and maybe that's what they wanted, maybe that was the goal, was for like the writers to basically like to put it in that mind frame where it's just like, oh well, you know, it in these situations it's never like this person is like a super villain, and they're just, it's always like these complicated feelings, and that's, so I don't know, I'm very conflicted by it. I'm interested by it, but I'm also upset by it. So I don't know how I feel about it yet.
I don't know. I'm not interested in like redemption stories for shitbags.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I also watched the Power Rangers movie, which I did not enjoy at all.
Oh no.
I have no illusions that the Power Rangers television show was ever any good. Like, it was always bad. But I just felt like, I don't know, there was about 3 minutes in this movie where I was like, hey, it's Power Rangers, because the music came on and they were all like running in their Dinobot things. That's not what they're called. But and then
that's what they are, basically.
Fighting. And there was like a little like kung fu section, and that I was like, hey, it's Power Rangers. But it took honestly an hour and a half to get there. So I don't know.
I liked that it wasn't like Power Rangers, like, from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't think they'd be able to, in this day and age, I don't think that they'd be able to get away with doing a very classic Power Rangers type of, like, blockbuster movie.
No,
but I know what you're saying. I played, so actually, just a couple months ago, they came out with a Power Rangers game. I'm trying to remember specifically what it was called. But, like, Brian and I played, like, the whole bit, like, the whole thing. And it was so cheesy. Like, so cheesy. But that was kind of, that's part of the allure of it, I guess. Like, it's just that it's so campy and it's so cheesy. And, like, that's sort of, I don't know, that's kind of, like, how people remember it and how people love it. And so I that's why I'm always very skeptical about adaptations of things that its charm is the fact that it came from a certain era, and it, and its charm came from the fact that it's a certain cheese ball, you know. And so I still want to see it. I've still heard good things about it, but I do feel like, yeah, I would go into it and just being like, oh, that was fun, but that wasn't Power Rangers for me. You know what I mean? Mm.
Yeah. It's one of those things where the original is so cheesy and basically so lacking in substance that I feel like, why would you even make a movie out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I also watched my favorite Bollywood movie. It's called Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham. And I used to be really big into Bollywood when a couple sort of jobs ago, I had my director at the government where I worked. He was Indian, and he started this thing where every Friday at lunch, we would watch some of a Bollywood movie. Now, since they're all like 4 hours long, it would take us.
They're like, 4 hours long? They're Titanic-like?
They're like epics, yeah.
Yeah, they're mostly all over 3 hours. So it would take generally a month to get through a movie. But this was my favorite one. It's sort of this big, sprawling epic about a family being torn apart because one of the sons marries someone his father didn't want him to marry. And it's really good, and I just love it's very sort of over the top too. Like every time the father speaks, there's like a crash of thunder in the background. And and there's all these song and dance numbers, and just all the costumes are just gorgeous. And so I watched that. I did have to watch it over two nights because it is 3.5 hours long.
That's why I didn't watch freaking, what's that, what's the latest Quentin Tarantino movie?
Django Unchained?
No.
There's been a new one, isn't there?
I'm just going to, but yeah, but that, and like, you know, I enjoy, you know, I enjoy Quentin Tarantino movies or whatever, but like, this movie, every single time that I go to sleep, I was just like, oh, hey. Maybe I'll watch this movie. I remembered that it was 3 hours long, and I was like, screw this. I do not want to do that. I'm just like, I'm going to go to bed. So.
Yeah.
The Hateful Eight. The Hateful Eight.
Oh, Hateful Eight.
Okay. Oh.
I'm not a big Tarantino fan. There's some stuff I liked. I like Kill Bill. I liked the one, what's the one with the car? Kurt Russell in it.
It's not Planet Terror. It's a
It's the other one. whichever one that one is. I liked the second half of that movie. I did not like the first half. I don't know. Every time I watch Quentin Tarantino, I just like end up yelling like shut up because everyone just will not stop talking.
Yeah, death proof. It's death proof. So yeah. So his issue is that I think he's a good director and he's a good writer. The problem is that I just feel he gets too self-absorbed or what the deal is, but like he thinks he's like the smartest dialogue writer of all time. He'll just write these like long dialogue things, and like sometimes it really works. Sometimes there's really incredible dialogue moments in his movies, but it's very hit and miss. And the only ones that you remember are the ones that are the really solid ones, you know, like the the Royale with cheese, like that's a great conversation, because it's just like it's the context of it, right? You have these like two guys who are ruthless and they're talking about something so inane, but it works in that situation, it works in that moment. But the problem is he does it so much that a lot of it just starts to lose its like luster, or lose its flair. I love and hate Quentin Tarantino stuff. I feel like there's a lot of merit to it, but I feel like there's also a lot of stuff where I'm like, oh, you're just such a self-absorbed nerd. Like you're so into this shit. We get it. You know your shit. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
That was my Quentin Tarantino.
That's okay. How did we get there from Bollywood? I don't even remember now.
The length of the movie.
Oh, the length of movies. Okay. And the last thing, I read a book called The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet. And it's like a sci-fi adventure book by Becky Chambers. And it was really, really good. It starts off with a human named Rosemary, and she joins this sort of long distance ship. The ship does like this thing called, oh, I forget what it's called. But they basically like punch holes through space-time to like make shortcuts in the universe. So she joins the ship and she's trying to get away from something, and you don't know what it is at the beginning, but it's all just about the crew and how the crew becomes a family. And what I really liked was that a lot of the different species you're introduced to aren't like green humans, like a lot of sci-fi does. I mean, there are some that are like humanoid that are kind of bird-like or something, but there's also like species that are very, very alien, both in looks and in the way they think. So it was a really good book with lots of cool ideas. Like, I really liked how it talked about some species, like one species talking about how they have children, and they're like, oh, you know, like some of our babies will die, we know that, and you know, it's more of a tragedy to lose someone with, you know, years of experience and relationships than it is to lose someone who's like brand new, who hasn't had any of that stuff yet. Which I thought was a neat way of thinking about things. And they also talk about how after they have babies, it's like someone else that takes care of their babies, because when you're in that period of your life, you still like want to go out and do other things, so it's like the elders that actually take care of the babies.
Sounds like the dopest future of all time.
Exactly.
Sounds chill as shit.
So that's about it.
Forgot to mention, sorry, I just started Good Omens. I don't have too much to say from it, except for the fact that I am loving it. Like, oh my god. Like, I, to be honest, I was kind of, like, after American Gods, I was kind of expecting the same tone. But no, it's so good. It's more like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Like, it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's funny. Oh, it's so good. I'm really enjoying it.
Awesome. Now we can move on to our main topic for the episode, which is Game of Thrones.
Yes!
So Game of Thrones started off as a book series by George R. R. Martin. It was turned into a series on HBO, I guess 7 years ago now. And it's gotten to the point where the show has outpaced the books, because we've been waiting on the sixth book for a long time.
Shithead.
Yeah. So.
It's very judgmental, but for real, come on, you have one job.
I don't think he even knows where his books are supposed to go at this point. Like,
well, I heard that he knows where the books are gonna go, and he basically has like a group of trusted people that are on the side of like the HBO writers, as well as like I guess his publishing crew, or whatever. Where he's outlined to be like, hey, this is basically what's gonna happen, because he's not that old, but I guess he just sort of assumed, he's just like, well, I take a million years to write a book, so I'll probably be dead by the time I finish. So that's what I've heard. I've heard he does know where it's gonna go, but he's told a few trusted people where it's gonna go in case he's not able to finish it, which is kind of dark.
It is. Yeah.
That's what Robert Jordan did that, right? For his Wheel of Time series.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Somebody else wrote the last two books, I believe. But, like, using his notes and, like, advice and his wife's ideas and stuff like that, too.
So, how did everyone get into Game of Thrones? Had you been readers of the book before the series came out, or did you just like jump into the series right away? Or Mel, what about you?
So it's kind of funny because like I was very super into sci-fi, and wouldn't say I wasn't into fantasy because like I was like hard into the Final Fantasy series and stuff. But I think like in terms of that sort of like very, I guess classic, fantasy, I was skeptical about. And so when it first came out, I didn't really pay much attention to it. And my brother, which is actually most of the, like, the really good content that I've ever experienced in my life is due to my brother. And so my brother, he's just like, you have to watch the show. It's phenomenal. I'm like, eh, I don't know. It's fancy. I don't know about that. He's just like, no, trust me. It's really good. So I sat down and I watched the first episode and I was floored. It was like, the only other time that I've experienced that sort of feeling from watching like a first, like a pilot where I was, where I was very like compelled was the first episode of Lost. First episode of Lost was so good.
So good.
But after that, I mean, shit, yeah, we don't need to go into that. But, but the first episode, I was so compelled. I was just like, wow, that was so well done. It was creepy, it was intriguing, it was just well acted, everything about it was really good. And so yeah, I mean that's kind of just like how I got into it. And I did read / listen to the first book. But to be honest, I kind of like, it's not that I didn't enjoy it as much. I think I'm a very visual person and I think I also like I got into it through the series. So so I still definitely want to read the books. It's more one of those things where I'm just like, I know in terms of commitment it's a long time, and I know I won't be able to do it before the series ends. So I think my main point of interest for the show, or for the, I guess, the content is the show, and I would still also like to read the books. I've read a lot of the lore, I've read a lot of this, you know, yeah, the stuff like they put out with the DVDs, they put out these sort of semi-illustrated narrated tales. Yeah, I think you can find them on YouTube. Where they talk about like the First Men and like the Children of the Forest and stuff, and they talk a lot about that stuff and about the lore and about other I guess like just things that they don't focus as much in the show. And there's also stuff that I heard about in the books that I'm just like, I was real pissed that they didn't have it in the show, because I was just like, that sounds super awesome. But that's basically how I got into it.
And Riley, how about you?
I read the books first.
Ooh.
And then started watching the show. Yeah.
Nice.
It was weird. Like, mostly because, like, the books are so long, so, like, there's stuff that I don't, like, super remember, but I think I prefer the show to the books, actually. Yeah, just in terms of, like, kind of who I relate the characters to now, and, like, the fact that you can watch a show or a season and have it be done, whereas, like, the books are, they take forever to read. the books are, like, super bogged down in, like, describing, like, really inane stuff, like opening a door or, like, unsheathing a sword. Like, we know you're in battle, dude. Like, just stab someone. I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember, like, who introduced me to the books, though. I feel like it was probably like a family member. I just don't remember who.
I will say there was like a part in the first book that I read with Daenerys meeting, like basically being, I guess, betrothed to
Like sold to Khal Drogo.
Yeah, to Khal Drogo. And like the show treated it, I mean, it was, it's hard, it's a hard scene, it's hard to watch, but you basically, like, you know, her character development, like, she didn't want to be there, and she didn't want, like, she was, I mean, even in the books, like, the book, she's, like, what, like, 13 or 14?
13, yeah, she's so young.
And what upset me the most, because, like, the show, it was hard to watch, but it was, I don't even want to say realistic, but in terms of, like, her reaction, she's just like, I mean, she basically got raped on her wedding day, you know? Like, she didn't want to consummate it with this man, like, this fucking, this, or quote-unquote, a barbarian that she had just met. Whereas in the book, I read it, and it kind of makes it, like, a little like she wants it, and I was real upset by it. I was just like, I don't feel good about this, because he basically, like, from what I remember the scene was that, like, he, and like, in the book she's 13 and this guy's 30, and he's like, he only knows how to say, I guess, no and yes or whatever, and so he only understands no and yes, and he's like touching her in certain places, and she's like, no, no, no. And then he touches her in her, like, private area, and she says yes. And I'm just like, no, she wouldn't. She wouldn't do that. She's a little girl. She would not do that. That's very upsetting. I hate this. Like, so I think, like, yeah, like, that's why I say, like, there were parts in the book where I was just like, oh, is this really interesting? And there are other parts where I was just like, no, 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 no. Nope. It's like, fuck this shit.
Yeah. Well, since we're going right into the problematic content, it's one of the things about the books is that, like, you are actually, like, their point of view chapters. So, like, each chapter is from a certain person's point of view. So you actually see what's going on in their head. Because there was another scene in, I don't remember if it was season 4 or 5, with Cersei and Jaime, and in the show, they made it very rapey, whereas in the book, you were in Cersei's head, and you know that, like, she loves Jaime, she misses Jaime, she wants to have sex with Jaime, she doesn't particularly want to do it beside her dead son's body, but, like, she's still, you know, into the idea of sex with him, like...
Yeah. The TV show also added a rape scene for Sansa, right? Because that wasn't in the book.
Did they add it? I thought it was in the book. Like, I thought it was basically, they didn't necessarily describe it or anything. I don't remember it being
in the books at all. Maybe I'm wrong. No, I remember now. Ramsay swaps, he doesn't marry Sansa, but he, like, he marries her friend,
and they tell him that it's Sansa, but it's actually her friend.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so he does technically, there is a rape scene, but it's not her.
Yeah, right.
I totally forgot about that. But in terms of, I think the biggest disappointment for me with the books versus, or at least from what I understood, what happens in the books versus the show was Lady Stoneheart.
Oh, yeah,
man, yeah.
When I found out about that, I wanted to punch someone out. I was just like, why won't you give that to me? Give it to me. I want it so bad.
I feel like everybody wants that, but ugh.
I wonder why. I think it's just basically they were just like, we can't. We have so much content already.
There's too much.
Mm-hmm. But, like, fuck. Like, to take that out, like, oh, that's so good. It's so juicy. It's just, it hit all my favorite points. It hit that, like, badass revenge. It hit the badass, like, fucking female don't give a shit aspect of it. And the zombie undead. Like, that was written for me. It was written for me. Like, that's all my favorite stuff. And the fact that it didn't appear in the show, and I found out about it later, I was just like, oh, I'm so sad.
Do you think they're using Arya's storyline to kind of do the revenge? Instead of involving Lady Stoneheart.
I'm definitely assuming. I know we haven't started talking about this current episode, but it's funny when the recap happened, and to be honest, I kind of wish that I had taken the time to rewatch the previous season.
Yeah.
Because when the recap happened and the end happened where, I mean, I guess this is, I'm assuming anybody watches this is like spoiler.
Spoilers are free game.
Welcome to spoiler town.
Yeah.
it's like, I forgot about her killing Walder Frey. I totally forgot about that. So when it happened, I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, in the recap, I was like, wait, what? And so, I mean, the first scene was still super satisfying, but I was just, I should have taken the time to rewatch it.
So we have a question here from the Doc Web, and he asks, who are you rooting for to claim or keep the throne, and has your allegiance changed over the course of the show?
I want them to kind of make it so that there isn't just one person on the throne like there has been. Like, I think it would be better if they did actually have, like, you know, King in the North or whatever, and then somebody on the Iron Throne, and then, like, another person. 'Cause, like, in the beginning, I was like, oh, man, the Starks, like, super deserve it. But now I'm like, the Starks, like, they hate that bullshit, so they should just stay in the North. And be happy up there.
A lot of people say that. There are a lot of people like, oh, like Jon Snow. It's just like, yeah, but he doesn't want it. Like, he doesn't want it. Like, it's not even so much that he should have it. It's that he's just like, he would hate his life. Like, he would be so upset.
Yeah, so I think, like, keep him and the Starks, like, up there. Like, maybe Sansa could go down and, like, do some shit. I don't know. But, like, the rest of them, I think, would all be much happier in the North, away from the Iron Throne. I love Cersei, so not as much as Pam, I don't think, but so I think, like, she wants the Iron Throne, and she's, like, super, like, I think that suits her, like, that position suits her very much. So I want to see her stay there if possible. And then I think Daenerys should just, like, go back and do whatever the fuck she was doing across the water, because, like, she was doing a good job over there.
Was she, though?
Well, debatable, I guess, but, like,
I mean, in the same extent that Abraham Lincoln did well when he was trying to dismantle slavery.
Yeah.
That didn't work out so well in a lot of situations.
That's true. Okay, so, I mean, she's fucked up a bit, but, like, actually, I do want to see, like, more dragon stuff, so I hope we get to see, like, more dragon shit. But I don't think she should be on a throne, particularly. But, yeah, that's what I think.
Mel, what do you think?
Okay, so, I love Daenerys. I do recognize a lot of, like, the stupidness and the bullshit that she's been doing. I have to remind myself that technically she's written really young and naive.
Oh, yeah, you forget.
She's really young. She's like, actress, she's, like, yeah. I mean, by this time she's, like, 15. You know? Yeah. But I still, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's just, like, kind of that very, I'm very susceptible to that, like, yes, queen! Like, I'm just like, yes! Fucking take it! But I also, I don't necessarily, I think she is very naive. I think she's has very good intentions, and she has, and I did really love her character development, even though it went to places, sometimes it went to places, and I was just like, okay, settle down. But it definitely, I do still, in terms of her actual, like, arc as a character, I really enjoyed it, and I liked, you know, sort of now the people she's associated with. However, in terms of what I want to happen, I want the idea of the ruling class to just basically be dismantled, because I think what I think is going to happen is I think there it's like the my enemy is or the enemy of my enemy is my friend, is that right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And I think, like, they're just going to have to band together to defend against the White Walkers. And I think by the time that they're done that war, the establishment of the established sort of like economy and houses that they have will just be a mess. And I think I think that they're just going to have to basically not necessarily start from scratch, but like, but yeah, basically, but be like, okay, if we want to survive, we can't allow these kind of divisions to distract us from like our survival. And so I kind of, that's what I'm kind of hoping. I'm kind of hoping that it's more of like this weird a democratic hodgepodge between Jon Snow and Daenerys and Cersei, to be honest, because as much as I'm like, oh God, Cersei, you're the worst. I fucking love her. Like she's just, oh yeah. God, she's so, that's why I love her so much as like a villain or whatever, is that she's so capable. She's the first person that like, you know, has been on the throne since the beginning that she's so capable. And I think that that's a quality that that Jon Snow and Daenerys haven't really acquired yet. You know, is just that weird like logic, that weird maybe not even logic. I don't even want to say ruthlessness because it's kind of in between. It's in between the two, where it's just like she knows what needs to get done. She knows what's the shit that needs to get fucking done. So, so that's kind of, yeah, my kind of hope is not really one sort of person ruling throne it's more of like, for me, it's a dismantling of what they currently have, because they can't defend against the White Walkers how they currently are. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best answer there, the dismantling of power. Although, Riley, what you said also is a really good point in, like, who even wants the throne at this point? Like, it's basically Cersei and Daenerys. Those are the only two who really want it. Everyone else has been pretty much wiped out. From the beginning of the show, I've been a fan of Cersei. There was a couple episodes, like when she got lady killed, I was like, don't kill dogs, man, that's not cool. But but once I got over that, I loved her. So I've always kind of been rooting for her, and I'm glad to see her on the throne. I think she's had such a cool arc from the beginning, where I found her quite sympathetic, like killing Robert and everything was to save her children. And now that all of her children are gone, I feel like she's not long for this world. And it's probably Jaime that's actually going to end up killing her.
Oh, man, just like the Mad King shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though, that it's kind of like why I also think that she has so much stake and she's so capable, is because, like, she's basically has nothing to lose. Like, she's at this point where she's just like, yeah, no, I don't give a shit. She's lost. I mean, that prophecy was completed. All her children have passed, and now she's just at the point where she's just like, and like she's worked and studied hard for that position, but I think she's also particularly dangerous because she has nothing to lose.
Yeah, I mean, she's made some mistakes, like. The High Sparrow getting power, she sort of brought that on herself, and then it got out of her control. But I don't know. I've just always been sympathetic of, you know, what she says about her and Jaime and how they were so alike. No one could even tell them apart when they were kids, but she was taught to, like, curtsy and please people, and he was taught how to fight people, and she's sort of just always wanted this, and I feel like she is the one who has actual experience now. How much any of these people have experience with, like, the actual people of a land is pretty close to zero, other than for maybe the Starks, but like, she knows what it's like to be in power or near power, and like, compared to Daenerys, who's, like, this really good conqueror, but really doesn't know anything about Westeros at all.
And she's also
politics in general.
Like, this is also partly why, like, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I love Daenerys, but, like, she's very naive. She's very idealistic. You know, she has these notions, which I think is very characteristic of a 15-year-old girl, which I know she's technically not in the show, but I try to keep reminding myself that's the maturity that she has, where she thinks, like, she's just like, I am going to come in and fix everything. It's just like, no, nah, it's not that easy, girl. Like, you gotta step back and look at the big picture and realize that there's already shit in place. The thing that worries me the most, so my prediction is that, not necessarily, I don't know if there's anything even founded in this prediction, but it's just because I think it would be really interesting. My prediction is that one of the dragons is going to die. I don't know how or why, but mostly because my biggest concern about the whole thing is that the dragons are such a, oh God, I hate, now this term is so tainted because of the fucking Trump administration, but it's the Trump card. You know, the dragons, like, because that's how, that's how the Targaryens came into power previously. They had a few dragons, and they came in and just wiped everything out, because they had these giant beasts who just blasted everything. And so I almost worry that because of the dragons, she has too much power. And I feel like in order to balance the sort of, the stakes between everything, like she can't have all three dragons, because she's unbeatable. She's unbeatable if she has dragons. Balance everything.
I feel like if there's gonna be a good ending where, like, every human isn't dead, to do that, to come back into some kind of balance, I feel like the White Walkers and, like, all the dragons are going to be gone by the end of it.
That makes sense.
There is a thing from the book which I don't remember all that well, but there's some kind of item that, like, lets you call a dragon. Riley, do you remember this at all?
No.
There's some, I don't know, it hasn't been in the show at all, but, like, that whoever has it basically gets to control the dragon. So I don't know if that could possibly come into play to sort of take all the power from Daenerys' hands.
Maybe with the Jon Snow and, like, Samwell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with the, he learned something through the maesters. That was one thing I could have done without, was the 3-minute montage of
the poo montage.
Fucking, Sam, like, just picking up poop. I get it. You have a shitty job, literally. You got to pick up poop. I don't need to, oh, God.
That was a lot.
That was rough.
Oh, I mean, like, aside from the subject matter, I thought that was shot really well.
Don't get me wrong. Cinematography-wise, beautiful. Acting, great. Content, fuck you. I just remember watching that scene and just, like, sitting on my couch and, like, knitting and, like, just like, periodically gagging. I was just like, ugh.
Yeah, it was
so bad.
I wonder if they'll bring in something like Sam will find something, because they already know now that all of the Dragonstone is under, what is it called? Actually, is it called?
It's called Dragonstone,
For the Targaryens,
the Dragonglass.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So all of the Dragonglass. That's right. All
which
the,
is where Daenerys just landed.
Dragonglass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my hope for Sam, because, like, I'd be super pissed if, like, if the plot line around him just, like, didn't go anywhere. But I like the idea of him finding something really substantial and really imperative and basically not being able to relay it because his father finds him. Because he's basically on the run, right?
Well, he's not going anywhere now.
He's not going anywhere now.
That could cause a problem for him. Although, even now, he's sent this information to John, but John's not in the wall anymore. John's in Winterfell, so hopefully he gets that message about the Dragonstone. Dragonglass.
Well, Bran will be at the wall, so maybe...
Oh, that's true.
Oh, Bran yeah, that's true. Yeah, I also do really love the idea of the wildlings manning the wall, which is...
Yes, finally.
And also just the fact that how much I love Tormund. Oh, God, I love Tormund.
So good.
I love him so much. Oh, my God. I know that, like, I think, like, last year, so one of the showrunners mentions, like, oh, yeah, nothing's going to happen between Brienne and Tormund. And, like, that's fine, but... But God, I love those two so much. I love those two. This is like, we can go aside from this, like, you know, the seriousness of this and the politics. And but, oh, just like kiss. Just kiss, you two. Oh my God, I love them so much.
So much. I like them too. Although, like, the last person that Brienne was into was Renly, who's, you know, not
as a little
really
pretty boy.
Same.
Yeah, he's a little pretty boy. Oh, yeah, no, I don't imagine... It's 100% one side. I do not imagine that Brienne is, like, into Tormund at all. But I just love this, like, idea of Tormund just, like, enamored with her. To be like, you were just so capable. Just so big and capable. I mean, even prior to their little thing, even prior to, like, this sort of, I don't know how to explain it. Like, the sort of, the love for Tormund, I was into that character and that actor from the very beginning. Oh, God. I remember seeing that. Oh, it's like Christoph. I can't remember. I feel so terrible because I can't remember the actor's name. But, oh, I just find him so beautiful. He's just so beautiful. I remember seeing him just being like, I'm sorry, who's this? It's like, who's this large bearded ginger man covered in fur pelts? Because I will take him home for you. But yeah, and the fact that they've sort of taken him to this place where it's this like kind of, you know, just kind of like adorable and dorky and charming is just makes me so happy. I love him so much. Sorry, I'm done talking about Tormund.
Right. So what about some of the other characters that we haven't talked about as much? I mean, in terms of Starks, all the Stark men, who I guess there's only two now, I can sort of take or leave, but what does everyone think about Arya becoming a stone cold murderer and then Sansa's development?
Arya's sick.
I love her.
Sick. Oh, that's great.
I love her so much. I just want her to just like kill everyone. Oh man, I love how just like how like into what she's doing she is, like, she, you know, she's using everything that she learned finally for like the shit that she wanted to use it for. So I'm like, I'm all on board with her. Just like,
she's focused. She is so focused.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried like what's going to happen to her after she's like gone through her list of people. But yeah,
I was actually talking about this with somebody. I'm trying to remember who's on her list. Is the Mountain on her list?
I think so, because he killed the butcher's boy.
Oh, right. So, yeah. Okay, so here's something that I won't even say it's a prediction, it's more just like a deep, deep want, is I don't necessarily think that Arya will kill Cersei.
No.
I want her and the Hound to team up to kill the Mountain.
Mm.
Oh, God. I would that brings me so much joy.
I wonder how she'd react to running into the Hound again.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be bittersweet. I feel like it'd be one of those things where she's just like, I've fulfilled my promise to kill you, which I guess she thought she was doing. But I feel like she would also at that point just kind of like, I don't know, like, I wouldn't even say start to forgive him, but just more start to accept him. Because he's, or at least understand. Because he's just, yeah, I mean, he's dealt with some serious shit. And, yeah, I just kind of like the idea where she's just like, well, I fulfilled my revenge agreement towards you. I thought you were dead. You are not. Fine. and yeah, I don't know. I think that would be so, it'd be so dope.
Yeah, I would be okay with a redemption arc for him.
Oh yeah,
I mean, he's good obviously to Sansa too, right?
Yeah,
because he was always like one of those characters that was just like, he was born of his circumstance, but was never. I don't even in the beginning, you never really thought he was like a bad guy.
Not like evil, yeah, like some of the other characters.
Yeah, yeah. There's a difference. There's a difference between like following orders and being evil. And I feel like,
I mean,
at no point
he did enough bad. Like even in this past episode, he saw the innkeeper and his daughter. That like he is definitely responsible for them being good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's definitely responsible. But he also like didn't outright kill them, right? Like it's one of those things where for him it's less about he wouldn't go outright and like be like, oh, I'm gonna kill you because I don't give a shit. It's more like for him it's more of a, I think, like out of sight, out of mind kind of thing, where he's just like, well, deal with your own shit, and he'll leave. Yeah. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's not particularly noble, but yeah, I think what I like about him is that he's conflicted. I think he has been brought up to be a bad person, but he's still conflicted to be like that, you know, and which I appreciate. So we'll see, yeah, whether or not he actually continues down that path.
Back to Arya for a second. I read this article not long ago that had this theory that Arya was actually dead, which I kind of bought into before this season premiere. Now I think it's not right, but it talked about how in the fight with the waif, the blonde girl from
the House of Black and White.
Yeah, and so Arya was like super injured, and then, you know, at the end the sort of light goes out and then you don't really see what happens. And so this guy's theory was that it was actually the waif wearing Arya's face, which I think kind of worked, like, in the context of just that episode or two.
Weird. Yeah, now with this new stuff.
Yeah, now, like, I think if it was anyone other than Arya, they're, like...
That's a pretty big stretch, plot-wise, yeah.
Like, I don't know that you'd go and kill an entire house of people.
Yeah, like, the exact people that Arya's got beef with.
Yeah. So just one last thing about Arya was apparently in the preview or the trailer for episode 2 of this season, it teases an Arya Nymeria reunion, which
it sure looks like it
would make me very, very happy.
Wait, Arya and who?
Nymeria, her direwolf.
Her direwolf.
Oh my god, I'd lose my mind.
That would, I know, because I know in the books, Nymeria is there, and she, like, has a whole pack of wolves, and she's, like, terrorizing the countryside. we haven't seen her at all in the show, but I would be very, very happy if Arya and Nymeria were to come back together, and Nymeria, like, loved her and didn't just eat Arya.
Man, imagine if she has to kill her own dog.
Ugh, no. That would be
because
terrible.
Because it's so, like...
Don't...
Because it's so, like,
feral and
vicious
done,
now.
I should be like, I am done. I don't give a shit how good the show is. You make
done
me watch
watching
that,
the show, that's
I
it.
I am done. So, actually, I'm going to just, like, retcon for, like, a second and take back everything I said about what I want to happen. And I'm just going to say that I want Lyanna Mormont to rule everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because she is a fucking queen, and she's amazing. Oh, my God. That little tear down countries for that little girl. Like, she's just, she's such a boss. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I love her so much.
So the other character I wanted to talk about was Sansa and sort of how she's developed over the course of the series from being kind of annoying and naively falling in love with Joffrey because he was a prince, even though he was literally the worst. And now how she's sort of developing a lot of political savvy and even mentions that she learned a lot from Cersei.
Yeah, actually, I really liked that moment where she kind of didn't just roll over and was just like sort of told Jon. And I was really appreciative of that conversation that they had, the two of them, that were, it was kind of like, I understand where Jon's coming from, where he's just like, don't question me in front of, because it kind of like undermines. But she's also like, look, it's a valid thing, you know? And it just, I really like, one of my favorite things in solid storytelling is just, it's like good character development, you know, and progression, like not necessarily like it just comes out of nowhere. And I feel like Sansa and, for me at least, Sansa and Daenerys were two big ones that I was just like, I think that these are both, they went from a place that was so sad and weak. And now where are they at? Like, you know why they're there. And you saw how they got there. And I just really appreciate those moments. And yeah, so as much as like, I don't really know if I particularly, you know, think like, it's not that I don't like Sansa or anything, but it's, I don't know if I have any sort of like affection or affinity for her, but I do appreciate her character development.
Riley, do you have any Sansa thoughts?
Just that I'm so proud of her. You're doing so good, sweetie.
I know. I loved last season. It was either episode 9 or 10, that big battle where it looks like Jon and basically everyone is going to die. And saves the day? Sansa motherfucking Stark.
Yep. Yeah, man.
Yeah. I feel like she's doing, like, and she's so, she'd become, like, so smart and, like, really confident, and I'm like, man, I'm so like good. I'm so glad that she's finally like, you know, getting like either some good development or good like good writing. Because I don't know if people just, it seemed like a lot of people like really hated her at first.
Yeah, and I think that's like partly why, like, I don't know. I really loved her arc was just because like she's unrecognizable from the first season. And and it's because of, like, she's, I mean, like, you know that, like, that means just, like, I've seen some shit. Like, Sansa has seen some shit. Like, she's seen so much shit. And, yeah, and I don't know. Like, I still don't 100% know if she is like, you know, capable to rule or anything like that. But I do think that, I don't know. I just really appreciate her as a character, and I hope she sticks around to the end.
Me too. Now, what about Littlefinger? Because Littlefinger is actually my second favorite character after Cersei. I love him, but I think he's.
I don't know. I feel like Cersei knows how to play the game. I feel like Littlefinger is so consumed with like power that he's. He's like that cocky dude when you go to a club and like tries to neg you. And it's like, you know, and you're just like,
oh my
but
God.
If you're like, and like it works on like most girls, but if you're smart enough, you're like, suck my dick, like fuck off. You know, like, so.
Yeah, I can see that, but I feel like it's still working on most people. I mean, Sansa and Brienne, they like both have a read on him, but everyone else, I still feel like he's sneaky enough to pull one over on them.
Yeah, and he definitely, yeah. I mean, like, especially after the battle, the Bolton battle, like with the Vale, he has a lot more clout. Like, I can't remember what specifically, who said what, but I remember Sansa saying something like, he saved us. Like, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. And that's mm-hmm. such a power move. Like, I don't even think that he particularly wanted to save them. It's not like it was a thing where he's just like, oh, I really care for these people and I want, yeah, I don't want them to die.
Sansa had to convince him, though.
Basically, it was just like, I know what the game is and I know what I need to do. And he did it. And now he just has this, like, yeah, he just has this power play over everybody because he saved them. So they can't just, like, go around and be like, well, fuck this guy. You know, because mm-hmm. he's the guy who saved everybody. I mean, yeah, like, now that I think about it, I didn't even think about it that way. Littlefinger saved everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like Sansa still has a use for him, too. Like, she... I kind of want to see them doing something together. Definitely not romantically, because, ew, and he's, like, a total creep that way.
Mm-hmm. He wants to hit it so hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's super creepy since he was in love with her mom. Like, yeah, I'd rather, I just sort of, I just sort of block that whole part out of my brain. But, like, politically and in, as far as, like, scheming, conniving, slimy characters go, I just love him. And I would love to see him and Sansa, like, use each other more to get ahead.
No, I think you'll see it. I think their dynamic is too interesting to ignore. So, yeah, I think it'll be good. God, I love this show.
So we've got another question from Urza's Rage, who asks, could the show exist without Red Gods, Dragons, and Frost Zombies?
So I definitely think it could. However, I think it would be a lot more... I don't want to say it's not interesting, because I still think it would definitely be interesting. However, I don't think it would have those moments where it's just like, this person has all the cards. I feel like at all moments in that type of series, everyone would sort of have their amount of cards, and not necessarily that they'd be equal to everyone else's, but in terms of, I guess, the balance, it would always be pretty pretty weighted. Whereas with the White Walkers, with the dragons, that's when you really, like, throw a wrench into the dynamic. Because you take something that necessarily is just like, oh, this doesn't have anything. And you're just like, oh, here's all the power. You know? And so... yeah, so I think it could still be very interesting. I think it's more just like, it would just be more more balanced, more back and forth in terms of, like, the power.
I think, like, the extra, like, supernatural type elements definitely give it a little more, like, oomph, because otherwise it would just be, like, another, like, not historical, but, like, fake historical show, like...
It would be fantasy West Wing.
With a lot more murder.
Yeah.
Or fantasy House of Cards.
Yeah, well, that's better. Yeah, fantasy House of Cards is better, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think it needs to have all the, like, the extra stuff, because I don't think it would be as interesting without it.
It's the wild cards, right?
Yeah.
On the one hand, it would be hard to have a Song of Ice and Fire without the ice or the fire.
Oh, yeah, right.
I've often thought, even though I'm pretty sure the very first scene of season one was the White Walkers, I've often thought, like, they weren't very interesting. Like, I've always kind of thought the whole North of the Wall stuff was the least interesting stuff. I feel like now, finally, they're building up to a point where they're going to be a very important part of things. But yeah, I was thinking, like, if without dragons, first of all, things would be a lot less cool, because some of the best scenes are Daenerys getting her dragons to set people on fire. But without dragons, like, there'd be no Daenerys. Like, she wouldn't have gotten anywhere after Khal Drogo died, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But then on the same note, without the White Walkers, Jon Snow would probably be completely irrelevant right now. So although I felt at times that some of the supernatural stuff wasn't the most interesting, I don't think you could have the show without it.
It's funny that you mention that, like, Daenerys would kind of just, like, there'd be no Daenerys if there was dragons, which actually, like, gives me pause to, like, my, to, like, how to think about her, right? And it kind of, you know, now that I think about it, it's just like, yeah, you're right. If she didn't have the dragons, she would not have the clout, she wouldn't have the power that she does. And that kind of, like, makes me take a second to evaluate her value. You're making me question everything, Pam. God. But yeah, no, it's, yeah. Yeah, I will say this much about the White Walkers, is that I sort of agree in the sense that, like, they don't at least for most of the series, don't really play a integral part in the, is dichotomy the right word? Like, or the, you know, what's the happenings of everything. However, what I do appreciate them as is not necessarily as, like, oh, like, they're messing with everything, is more as a time bomb. That's kind of how I see them as. It's not so much as, like, oh, they're going to screw this up or they're going to screw this up. Basically, I treat the White Walkers as a time bomb, as the bomb in Fifth Element when, you know, when they're in Lost in Paradise, as the bomb in, like, in Speed. Like, although I guess that was triggered by Anthony Hopkins. But, like, still, like, for me, I picture them more as just, like, a force that just gets, that's a bomb that gets unleashed. And so, which hasn't happened yet. And you don't know when it's going to happen. So, but yeah, no, I'm going to have to sit down. I have to question my values. Goddamn it, Pam. You're killing me.
All right. And then the last question we have is another one from the Doc Web asking, what character has to die or what plot point has to occur before you give up the show permanently?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You guys go for it. You guys go first.
Any more unnecessary rape scenes, I think? I know a lot of people stopped watching after the Ramsay Sansa stuff, because that was, like, super unnecessary. And like I mentioned before, maybe Arya would have to kill her dog, and I think that some people would stop watching after that too.
I think at this point we're on the second last season. Who knows?
Oh, I thought this was the last season.
I think
thought seven one was the last one.
No, because I think they split it or something, or they split one of them.
Oh. I'm not going to stop watching anyway, no matter what.
Yeah, they're short. Like, this is only 7 episodes this season, and then I think 7 episodes next season. But yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, it's gotten this far into it. There's not really anything they could do to make me not see it to the end.
Yeah.
No, I was just about to say, so, honestly, I think, like, what would make me be like, oh, I'm done, is you would have to kill off all of the major players. You'd have to kill off, you'd have to kill off Cersei, you'd have to kill off Daenerys, and you'd have to kill off Jon Snow.
It would just be a bunch of sheep wandering around a field.
No, yeah, that's, but for real, like, that's exactly, like, I don't want at any point, if something happens where it's very much like, do over and nothing mattered prior to that, then I'd be like, okay, screw you. Like, I was very invested in the story, and if you're just like, decide to be like, I don't care what happened prior to this, and then just do everything to make that reality happen, I would be like, eh, I'm good. But I don't think they're gonna do that. So yeah, no, I've invested enough time in this that I'd like to see to the end. They'd have to really upset me in terms of, I guess, content for me to be like, screw this.
All right, so we are getting long, I think, now on this episode. So just to wrap it up, I don't know, anything you want to talk about, a particularly awesome scene you want to shout out, or a particularly terrible scene, or, you know, how you think this season's gonna end.
Are we not gonna talk about fucking Ed Sheeran? Are we not gonna talk about Ed Sheeran in the fucking episode of Game of Thrones? What the fuck? What? Did you guys notice that?
No, I already knew that he had a cameo in the episode, so I was expecting it, but I thought it was, like, it was really out of place and super, like, it just, I don't know.
I was so confused.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran's one of those names I see on Twitter, like, every day. I have no idea what he does. I couldn't name a song he sings, so.
It blew my mind. It was more just, like, one of those things where I didn't think it would be a thing that would happen in this show. Mostly just because it seemed to be the type of show that was very, very, like, separated from the, I don't know, pop culture bubble, where it's just like, they didn't necessarily care how popular their actors were. It was more like, hey, as long as you're talented. So I was just, it was just very, out of the norm for what I associated with that series.
Wasn't Coldplay at the Red Wedding?
What? No.
They were in costume. No, like, they didn't sing or anything.
No, they weren't. Please do not, Pam. No.
I'm pretty sure they were. Yeah.
They were. Yeah, they were just dressed up holding
instruments and stuff. No, they weren't. Please don't tell me that. No.
I've broken her.
The lead singer of Snow Patrol, wasn't it, too?
Oh, my God. You guys are killing me.
Sigur Rós was in it as well.
You guys are fucking killing me. I didn't know this was a thing. Oh, I'm an old, bitter lady. I'm an old, bitter lady.
It is a Time article about it.
All right. Is that the scene you wanted to talk about to wrap it up? Okay. Riley, did you have any last thoughts, scenes you wanted to call out?
I mean, there's, like, a couple really good ones. Like, I think Daenerys walking out of the fire with her dragons was really amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, I think the one that really kind of was the best, like, especially for the way that the music was set up, it, like, coming into it, and, like, all of the buildup that was happening towards it for the entire season was definitely Cersei's big, like, what's the green shit called? Explosive stuff.
Wildfire?
Yeah, the whole wildfire thing I thought was incredible, because it's been set up, like, you know that there's wildfire underneath all of these places, but, like, casually mentioned throughout the entire show. And then finally, like, you get, like, the subtle notes of the piano coming in, and, like, everybody's getting ready for this big trial, and like, I thought it was like that scene, that whole episode, I thought was so well done.
Pam, what was your most impactful, I guess, moment where you're just like, in terms of, like, emotion, just stirred up the most?
Well, I was going to mention the one that Riley just mentioned. I liked that Cersei just, like, took power and immediately, both as, like, a character thing, because, you know, she had all these enemies, and in terms of just kind of fixing the bloating of the story. And it's just like, oh, all these people, just gone. Let's just cut off these storylines right now. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what was most emotionally impactful. I know a lot of people were upset about the Red Wedding, and I knew it was coming. I kind of got off on, like, everyone being really upset about that, because I didn't like the Starks anyway.
Oh, so. You're gonna love me talking about my most impactful shit.
I mean, I really liked a lot of the stuff with Daenerys, the scene where, I forget where they are, but the, like, guy in charge of all the slaves keeps talking.
Doesn't
understand.
Yeah, like, she speaks Valyrian, and yeah. Okay, so yeah, those are mine. So the two parts at least for me, where I basically, like, emotionally just either ruined me or lifted me up to a point where I wanted to take over nations, was, so the first one was A Red Wedding, which I don't know how I didn't see it, because I watched it late, and I had, like, there was all this, these spoilers and stuff talking about The Red Wedding, and I think I was just, like, I was just so innocent and naive, and I'm just like, oh, they're gonna have a beautiful wedding, everything's gonna be great. So I was watching it, and I was alone, and I was watching it, and it happened, and my face just went white, and I just, like, was looking around to find somebody who I could just be like, how, why? Like, I was just, like, losing my mind, and I was really upset about it, but it was really, I mean, like, again, really great, really, really great scene in terms of storytelling, but it destroyed me as a human being. But the probably the scene that, like, I don't know, that I just, like, lost my mind with was that scene you were telling me about where Daenerys is looking to buy the Unsullied, and she gives the dragon to the master, and he's like, you know, this whole time has been insulting her in, is it Valyrian?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and so he's been insulting her, and she understands, and he doesn't know. And then, like, he grabs a dragon, and he's like, oh, how do I control it? And she's like, you cannot control a dragon. And then says, well, fucking, like, Draconis or something. Mm-hmm. And then just blasts him. And then takes over me, and I was just, I literally watched that scene, and then I was losing my mind. I was by myself, losing my mind in my room, and then stopped and rewound it, like, just, like, put it to the beginning and watch it again, and just engage in his glory, because I fucking love that scene so much. It was so, like, those showrunners who are like, oh, we're gonna fucking manipulate every stupid feminist pawn. This is gonna be the scene. And that was the scene. That was the scene where I was just like, this is it. I fucking love it so much. So yeah, so those were the two. It was A Red Wedding for wrecking me, and Daenerys taking over Meereen for uplifting me to the heavens.
Actually, in terms of, like, downer scenes that we haven't already talked about, when Stannis and the Red Woman and Stannis's wife decided that they were going to burn Shireen.
Oh, God. That was the worst. Pam, why did you bring that up?
I'm sorry.
God.
You asked.
Oh, which is why, like, from that point, I was just like, I don't care what you do. You can't. I was just like, Stannis' wife, the Red Woman, it did not fucking matter what they did after that point. I was just like, you cannot redeem yourself after this. Like, after that point, I was just like, you're a piece of shit, I hope you die horribly. Like, I don't fucking care. Ugh. Ugh. Now I'm all angry. Why would you do that to me, fam?
I'm sorry. All right. I think that's going to bring this episode to a close. Thank you so much for joining us, Mel.
Thanks for having me, Pam and Riley. This was super fun.
No problem. Do you want to tell people where they can find you online?
So my Twitter is just Mel Maduro at twitter.com, which is M-E-L, my last name, M-A-D-U-R-O. I also have a Tumblr, which is babia-majora at tumblr.com, which is a reference to Wayne's World. So it's babia-majora.tumblr.com. Yeah, that's me.
All right, and Riley, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at
Kaleri with an underscore, so K-A-L-E-R-I with an underscore, and also at Twitch, so it's twitch.tv/Kaleri, K-A-L-E-R-I.
And you can find me on Twitter at Josiah underscore, or on YouTube. My channel is called Cannot Be Tamed. And first, I just wanted to give a shout out to P1 and P2 from the Cartridge Club. They have a podcast, CC Weekly, where they made the mission 1 week to give Media Mavens a review. So we got like 7 new reviews in the last couple of weeks. So thank you very much for that. If you have any feedback or questions for us, you can reach out at mediamavenscast@gmail.com or contact us on Twitter at _mediamavens. And there's a forum for discussion at cartridgeclub.org. And if you're one of the people who still hasn't reviewed us, please do give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.